For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Early Duncan had it. They turned it over. Alley-oop back to Kevin.
Oh, baby! Woo! KD!
You can see it coming, and the building is electric off that slam dunk.
Catastrophic.
Welcome into the Believe in Timberwolves podcast. I'm your host, Brendan Hedke. As always, you can find me on Twitter at @B_HedkeNBA. Today's show, I am again riding solo, and I'm here to talk about the Minnesota Timberwolves wrapping up their season and what we can look for in the future. But the first topic I wanted to talk about quickly is the Rookie of the Year race. Currently, it's a two-man race. Tyrese Haliburton has all but fallen out of the race due to his injury and the increased play of one Anthony Edwards, and now it's down to Anthony Edwards and LaMelo Ball. And the race is getting hot, very, very hot. Anthony Edwards is putting up ridiculous numbers since the All-Star break, and he's been trying to catch up to LaMelo Ball since then. Ball himself has not been doing the same. Ball missed 21 games, and over that time, Anthony Edwards just skyrocketed. But still, the hype isn't around Anthony Edwards. It's actually still around LaMelo Ball. Just today, posted on NBA.com, Steve Ashburner posted his newest NBA rookie ladder. Over the time that LaMelo Ball was down with his wrist injury, Anthony Edwards found himself on the top rung of that ladder, number one on the rookie race, according to Ashburner. Now that LaMelo Ball has came back and he's played seven games since his wrist injury, LaMelo Ball has now taken over the number one spot with only 5 days left in the NBA season. Now, that might make sense to you. It might make sense that LaMelo Ball comes back, plays good basketball, and just, you know, blows Anthony Edwards out of the water, and all of a sudden the race is locked up. But that's not what happened. That is not at all what happened, and that's what's so puzzling to me. Since LaMelo Ball came back from injury, he has played seven games, averaging 15 points, which is solid. That's a little bit lower than his season average. He is averaging 40% from the field and 20.7% from three on four attempts. He's also shooting only 62.5% from the free throw line, pulling down 6.6 rebounds, 6.6 assists, and throwing 3.9 turnovers per game. Anthony Edwards, on the other hand, since LaMelo Ball has returned from his injury, has played in five games. Over the course of those five games, Anthony Edwards is averaging 26.8 points on 56% shooting from the field, 43% shooting from three on 7.4 attempts per game. He's also shooting 72% from the free throw line, pulling down 6.6 rebounds to match Ball's rebounds, and then dishing out 4.6 assists, which is lower than Ball's 6.6, but much higher than Edwards' season average, which is about three, and then throwing 3.8 turnovers. So, in that time, Anthony Edwards is nearly doubling the points of LaMelo Ball. He is shooting 16% better from the field, 23% better from three, 22.5% better from three, and almost 10% better from the free throw line, pulling down the same number of rebounds and throwing just two less assists a game. So don't get me wrong, I'm not making the case right now with this specific argument that just because these five games happened for Ant really good and LaMelo's been struggling for seven, I'm not saying that decides a race. I'm not saying that's why Ant is the Rookie of the Year. I'm saying that Anthony Edwards deserves a lot more credit and should not have been dropped down a rung on the NBA rookie ladder since LaMelo Ball just came back. LaMelo Ball came back, and if anything, he has hurt his stock rather than helped it. But before we move on with this conversation, I do want to give a quick shout out to our sponsor. If you love the NBA, or any sport for that matter, and you want to get into the action, the best way to do that is to bet on the games. The Minnesota Timberwolves have an exciting rookie in Anthony Edwards. If you want to go ahead and throw a few dollars down and him winning Rookie of the Year, that might be a smart investment. Now, I'm not telling you what to do, but you can definitely go out there and try it. The best way to bet on sports is BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, let's get back to the talk about the Rookie of the Year. I don't want to break down the race too much. I've already talked about it before, but I think since last show, Anthony Edwards has definitely helped his case, and LaMelo Ball has definitely hurt his case a little bit. Does that mean LaMelo Ball is going to lose the race? I don't know. I don't want to break that down too much. I'd rather have a conversation with someone to get, you know, differing sides of the argument, and maybe we'll do that before the award is announced. But I just want to get this out there and make this clear, because I think it is important for us to really understand. And I think Timberwolves fans have it in their minds that there's a vendetta against Anthony Edwards, that the media just hates Anthony Edwards, that Anthony Edwards, there's something out to get him. And I don't necessarily think that's true at all, to be honest with you. I don't think it has anything to do with Anthony Edwards. I think Anthony Edwards is liked by a lot of media. I think some fans across the NBA that don't really understand Anthony Edwards' game and haven't really realized how good he's been post-All-Star break, just think of him as an inefficient scorer. And, you know, they just look at the season-long numbers and don't really understand the growth that you, Timberwolves fans, me, you, those of you listening to this podcast, have seen over the course of this season. We've seen his efficiency numbers go up. He's shooting, his true shooting percentage is at or above league average since the All-Star break. And those are things that people just don't really look into if you're not a fan of Anthony Edwards and or the Minnesota Timberwolves. But like I was saying, I don't think there's a vendetta against Anthony Edwards. I think there's just a lot of hype around LaMelo Ball. LaMelo Ball has been a child star, a child prodigy, ever since him and his brothers played for Chino Hills when he was in like 7th or 8th grade. It all started then, and it's been building this narrative. He went overseas, and the narrative kind of went against him. People didn't really believe that he would be a solid player. You know, he came back to high school, he wasn't highly ranked in the ESPN 100 anymore. He went overseas, he came back, and all of a sudden he's a top three pick, and he's looked really good this season. And he has. He's looked really good this season. But the point still stands. I don't think there's a vendetta against Anthony Edwards. I think there is just a lot more to lose if Ball doesn't win Rookie of the Year than if Anthony Edwards doesn't win Rookie of the Year. LaMelo Ball draws in a lot of fans. LaMelo Ball is one of the biggest stars on social media that basketball has ever seen. Him winning Rookie of the Year is going to keep drawing in younger fans. That's my point of view. I don't think there's anything against Anthony Edwards from people. I think LaMelo Ball and Anthony Edwards are both deserving of a Rookie of the Year nod. They've both played like a Rookie of the Year. I'm not going to take anything away from LaMelo Ball. I'm not going to try and argue against him. I'm just going to tell you how I feel, and I don't think there's a vendetta against Anthony Edwards. I just think that there's a lot of hype around Ball, and he's played good too. It's not the hype that we saw around other players that just fizzled out. He's actually playing good too, so it would feel somewhat warranted if he did win, though I would pick Anthony Edwards, but you get the point. Other than that, I want to move past the Rookie of the Year talk, and I want to talk about the Minnesota Timberwolves in general and where they're looking in the Tankathon standings. As I figured would happen, Minnesota did go on to win the last two games against the Detroit Pistons and the Orlando Magic. And I think those wins, though against really, really bad teams, were really important when you look at how they got the win. It wasn't the win against the Rockets where they had to go on a 27-0 run just to get to the, you know, the win. It wasn't any of that. They legitimately blew both teams out of the water, and the game was over not long after it started. Generally speaking. And I think that's really important when you think about this Minnesota team who we've always known is better than their record showed at the beginning of the year, but they just played down to competition just over and over and over and over again. And we're seeing less and less of that the longer that Chris Finch is at the helm. And I think that's something that's really important. Getting a team to play up to their competition or above their competition rather than playing down to their competition is one of the best things that a coach can do. And you do that by instilling confidence in your players, instilling a system that allows players to flourish. And I think those are things that are just really, really important. Really important, you know, characteristics of a good coach. And I think that goes well, bodes well for Chris Finch to be a good coach. He's looked really good this season, drawing up plays. He's one of the best after timeout play drawer-uppers, I guess. I don't know what I want to call that. Orchestrators this year. I think he's second behind Steve Nash. And Steve Nash has KD, James Harden, Kyrie Irving. You're going to get your points regardless. But for the Wolves to be second in that with Chris Finch, that's really impressive. Outside of that, I wanted to look at the Tankathon standings, as we do like to call them, and just see where everybody's at. Currently, Houston is 16-53. They have locked up the number one odds. They will end the season with the worst record in the league, but they'll share the same odds as second and third. Detroit is 20-50. They are one game ahead of Oklahoma City, who is 21-49. And then Cleveland and Orlando have played one less game than OKC, and they both have 48 losses, so they're 21-48 each. And then Minnesota just beat Detroit to move to 22-47, all but securing the sixth odds unless Cleveland, Orlando, or OKC lose another game. Then there would be some coin flip action that comes into play there. But when we look at the remaining schedules of these teams, and then Toronto is five games better than Minnesota. So Minnesota's not falling any worse than six. Six is the worst, and it's probably where they're going to end up with. So I just want to go ahead and look at the remaining schedule. See if any of those teams possibly could win another game. OKC has two games left. They are playing the Jazz and the Clippers. I do not think they will be beating either of those teams. Orlando has two games against the 76ers and one game against the Hawks. I think both those teams are fighting for playoff position, and I don't think that Orlando is going to put up too much of a fight. I'm sure a lot of players will be staying for them. Detroit has a game against the Nuggets and a game against the Miami Heat. Miami Heat are still battling for position in the Eastern Conference, so I don't think that they will go down easy. And Denver is actually also trying to get up to that third seed. They're only a game back behind the Clippers, so they could potentially go up to that third seed. So I think that all those teams are going to, you know, have something to play for. And then you look at Houston. They got the Clippers, the Hawks, and the Lakers. They're going to lose all three of those. They're tanking wonderfully. And then the last team is Cleveland. Cleveland has the Nets and the Celtics. And the Nets currently sit as the number two seed in the Western Conference. They're two games, or in the Eastern Conference, they're two games back from the 76ers. They would need some real good luck in those last. They need the 76ers to, you know, lose a few of those games, a couple at least, and they need to win them all kind of to get up into that, the number one seed. And I just don't see the 76ers losing, you know, two games to, you know, they have two against Orlando left and one against Miami. So I just don't see that happening. So maybe somehow, you know, Cleveland could pull out a win against the Nets. They've kind of had the Nets number all season, but I wouldn't count on it. And then Boston is trying to fight to not fall down to the 8 or 9 seed. They're currently sitting at 7. They lost Jaylen Brown, which is really unfortunate, but they are still fighting to, you know, stay at that 7 seed rather than falling down in the play-in tournament. But regardless, I don't think any of those teams are going to win any games. I really do not think that any of those teams will win any of their final games and make it matter whatsoever. Minnesota, on the other hand, they're playing Denver, Boston, and Dallas. I think that Minnesota, with the way that they've been playing, could steal a game or two. I just think that they're not sending anybody. They are going out full bore trying to win some basketball games. I could see them beating one of those teams. Who? I don't know. I'm really looking forward to the Denver Nuggets matchup so we can see Kat go against Jokic. I think that's going to be really fun. We've seen Kat do really well against Rudy Gobert this season. We've seen Kat play really good against Bam Adebayo. Kat played really well against Joel Embiid. And the next best center, the other top five center on the list, is Nikola Jokic, who is the best center in the league at this moment. And Kat's going to go up against him for the next game, which is Thursday night at 7 o'clock. And that'll be a fun one. I think it'll be really fun to see how Kat plays in that game and to see how that matchup ends up and if the Timberwolves can somehow win one of those games. And after Thursday, on Saturday, the Timberwolves do play the Celtics at home. By the way, all the final games are at home. So Celtics are coming to town, and I will actually be in attendance for the Celtics-Timberwolves game on Saturday night. I will be there covering the game, and I'm really excited to do that. And that should be a good one. I'm hoping we can get a win while I'm there, because why not? We're going to get the sixth pick anyways. Try and win all these games. And then the last game is against the Dallas Mavericks. And the Dallas Mavericks, like I said, that'll also be at home. And that's on Sunday. Times will be to be determined. But those are going to be some really fun games. I'm really looking forward to seeing how those turn out. But as of now, I think that the Timberwolves are going to have their work cut out for them, because the Nuggets, the Mavericks, and the Celtics are all looking and fighting to get the best playoff positioning as possible. The Mavericks are trying to not fall down to 7, but and maybe possibly jump up to 5. They're tied for 5th right now. So all those teams are going to really be looking to win those basketball games. The Timberwolves, like I said, we're going to sit at the 6th pick. It's going to end up being the 6th pick. I don't think that there's really a world where it doesn't, but what's bad about that? The bad thing is about the Minnesota Timberwolves ending up as the 6th pick is that they don't have the best odds at a top 3 pick, which we all know by now, they need a top 3 pick to keep their pick. They don't get a top 3 pick, if they get a top 3 record, 40.1% chance to get a top 3 pick, they're not going to get a top 3 record, or bottom 3 record, excuse me. If you move down to 4th, it drops to 36.6, which is 3.5% drop. And then at 5th, Orlando's sitting with, like, I believe a 30% or 32% chance, something like that. Just over 30. Yeah, 31.6. And then Minnesota, we'd be sitting down at about 27.5%. So we're 12.5% away from the best possible odds. So that sucks. But the good news, the good side of finishing with the 6th record, or the 6th odds rather than the, you know, top 3 odds, is where that pick might fall if you're giving it to Golden State. The Golden State Warriors can only get the pick if it falls from 4 and later. Right now, with the 6th, where the Timberwolves, you know, 99% sure are going to end up, it's a 9.6% chance that Golden State could get it at 4. There is no chance that Golden State could get the 5th pick. Then there is an 8.6% chance they could get the 6th pick, a 29.8% chance that they get the 7th pick, a 20.5% chance they get 8, 3.7% chance they get 9, and just a 0.2% chance that they get 10. So the most likely landing spots for our pick are 7 or 8. When you're talking about the 7th and 8th pick, that rules out the Cade Cunningham, Jalen Suggs, Evan Mobley, Jalen Green, and Jonathan Kuminga names from being in Golden State. And that feels like a big win. When you talk about Golden State, who thought they were going to end up with a Jalen Green or Jonathan Kuminga with this pick, now they only have a 9.6% chance of getting that pick, getting that 4th pick to get one of those guys. And there's still some solid players, don't get me wrong. I haven't dug too much into the draft past the few top guys, just because the Timberwolves only can get those top guys as of now. But I think there's some solid players down in the lower ranks there with, like, the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th pick. But I just don't foresee any of those guys being real franchise changing like some of the guys in the top 5 could be. But those, I think, are the good and bad things of landing at the 6th best odds at the top 3 pick. And you still have 27% chance to get the pick. So at the end of the day, you still have a shot. Nobody has better than a 40% chance. You have a 27% chance. It's worse, quite a bit worse, but not out of the realm of possibility. We saw Charlotte jump up from 8 to 3 last year, and And things happen like that all the time, especially with these new lottery odds. You never know what's going to happen. Lottery night is going to be crazy. And I'm just hoping that the Minnesota Timberwolves luck out. And if they don't, I'm happy and content with how they finish the season. And that's where I'm going to leave it at that. The next thing I want to talk about is just how far the Timberwolves have come in the standings. I think at their worst point, the Timberwolves were, I believe, 3.5 games worse than the 3.5 games worse than the Houston Rockets. Currently, the Timberwolves sit at 6 games better than the Houston Rockets. Minnesota, prior to the All-Star break, were 7-29. Ryan Saunders was 7-24 as the head coach. Chris Finch lost his first 5 games going into the All-Star break, and they ended up 7-29. Since the All-Star break, the Minnesota Timberwolves are now, they're 22 and... Hold on, let me double check. I think 22-47 on the year, so they've played 69 of their 72 games. 22-47. So they have went 15-18 since the All-Star break. And that just feels like very, very good progress. Chris Finch as a head coach is 15-23 record. Not great, but quite a bit better than Ryan Saunders could do. The worst the Timberwolves can finish the season is 22-50. That would leave them at 15-21 since the All-Star break. The best they could do is 18-18 and be a 500 team post-All-Star break. I don't think either of those will happen. I just have a weird feeling they'll win at least one of these games. So you're probably looking at like a 16-20 record after the All-Star break. That's pretty good. It's not 500, but relatively speaking, for the Minnesota Timberwolves, that is pretty good. So, what has happened with the Timberwolves over that time? I think that Chris Finch has just got his fingers all over the place and that the Timberwolves have gotten healthy. It does come with the disclaimer that Ryan Saunders' 7-29 game or record came with only 4 games of Karl-Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell together. And that definitely doesn't help his case, but I think just seeing what we've seen with Chris Finch, we can say that he's done a better job regardless. And I just wanted to break down the stats of our core three, I would call them. I would throw Jaden McDaniels in the core too, but his stats aren't jumping off the page either way, post-All-Star break and pre-All-Star break. But Karl-Anthony Towns has. Since the All-Star break, let me go back. Before the All-Star break, Karl-Anthony Towns averaged 22 points on 49% from the field, 37.5% from three, just about 11 rebounds, and just about 4 assists. Since the All-Star break, Karl-Anthony Towns is averaging 26.5 points on 48.7% shooting, 39.7 from three on 7 attempts, 10.3 rebounds, and 4.9 assists. So he's a whole assist higher since the All-Star break. Anthony Edwards, pre-All-Star break, he played in every single game. He played 36 games, and he averaged 14.9 points on 37% from the field and 30% from three, 4 rebounds, and 2.5 assists. Post-All-Star break, Anthony Edwards is averaging an incredible 23.5 points on 45.2% from the field, 34.7% from three on 8 attempts, 5.5 rebounds, and 3.2 assists in 35 minutes a night. D'Angelo Russell, prior to the All-Star break, he played a lot of games without Karl-Anthony Towns. D'Angelo Russell averaged 19.3 points on 42% from the field, 40% from three on 7 attempts, 5 assists, and 2.7 turnovers, and 2.6 rebounds. After the All-Star break, this is a lot of numbers, forgive me. After the All-Star break, D'Angelo Russell is averaging 18.9 points, so he dipped a little bit in scoring. He's shooting 43.9% from the field and 39% from three on 7.4 attempts, but he's also dishing 6.6 assists and 2.7 rebounds and only throwing 2.7 turnovers, and he's doing all that in just 27.2 minutes a night. So if we go to his per 36 minutes, he's averaging 25.1 points per game and 8.7 assists and 3.6 rebounds. So he has been really, really impactful as a point guard for this Minnesota Timberwolves team since the All-Star break. And I think that's something that is really important when you look at the future of this team is how good has he been at distributing the ball. And when you're talking about 8.7 assists per 36 minutes post All-Star break, when before the All-Star break he was averaging only 6.2 assists, that's a whole 2.5 assist bump. That's pretty impressive. But the Minnesota Timberwolves, I think, are just in a much better place than a lot of people really understand that they are. If we go down the list, I think the Minnesota Timberwolves are in a better place than the Detroit Pistons. I think they are in a better place than the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cleveland Cavaliers have some pieces. Jared Allen is looking really good. Colin Sexton is looking really good. And, you know, Darius Garland's look good. Isaac Okoro's had his ups and downs. And they found some contributors, you know, just on the fringes. But when you look at it, Karl Anthony Towns is better than Colin Sexton. Jared Allen's probably a little bit better than D'Angelo Russell. I would say Darius Garland, Anthony Edwards are pretty close to the same at this juncture, but I think Anthony Edwards has a little more potential than Garland. Go to Houston, Karl Anthony Towns is better than any player on the Houston Rockets. We'll call Christian Wood their best player. Their second best player potentially could be like John Wall, or I just got to pull up their roster real quick because they've had incredible roster turnover this year. But no, I would say that Karl Anthony Towns is definitely better than Christian Wood. I would say, you know, Kevin Porter Jr., John Wall, those types of players. Maybe John Wall has a case to be better than D'Angelo Russell. I would say that Anthony Edwards is better than Kevin Porter Jr. I would say that he's better than Jayshon Tate and all those guys. So I think the Timberwolves just have a better roster in general. Then you go down to OKC. OKC has Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's not quite the player Karl Anthony Towns is, but he's a heck of a player. They have some other fascinating pieces like Lu Dort and Bazley, and just they have a ton of different players that I think are really interesting to really think about as future players, but I don't think they rival the Timberwolves roster at all. Orlando, I also don't think rivals the Timberwolves roster at all, though Jonathan Isaac is a heck of a defender. You have Cole Anthony, who's looked like a very impressive rookie. Wendell Carter Jr., I think, is a really promising young center. You have RJ Hampton, who's looked good. You have Markelle Fultz, that when healthy has looked pretty solid. And I'm sure I'm forgetting just a ton of players on the Magic. But I think that they have looked really solid this season. And in a developmental standpoint, when you're talking about getting things from those players, you know, you're getting quite a bit out of people like, you know, RJ Hampton has looked really good since he came over from Denver and those things. So, you know, they have some promise there, but like I said, they're still a ways behind the Minnesota Timberwolves. And then there's another couple teams that I think kind of rival the Timberwolves, but I would question if the Timberwolves are better. One is Sacramento. I would say Kat and De'Aaron Fox are at the same level, probably as players. And then you go down to the second best players and you have, you know, Tyrese Halliburton and Buddy Hield. When Minnesota has Ant and D'Lo, I think Minnesota takes that one a little bit. Toronto's an interesting one. You have Pascal Siakam, who's same caliber of player as Karl Anthony Towns, I would say, at this juncture in their careers. OG Anunoby's look good. Gary Trent Jr.'s a solid player. Fred VanVleet, you know, Fred VanVleet's probably a little bit better than D'Angelo Russell. Definitely a little bit better than D'Angelo Russell. So I think that probably gives Toronto a slight edge. OG Anunoby's been good. You go to Indiana. Indiana has Sabonis. Sabonis and Cat are about the same level. Then you have Malcolm Brogdon, Caris LeVert. You know, I think they maybe have a slight edge over the Minnesota Timberwolves. And then the Spurs. The Spurs are really interesting. They don't have necessarily one player that really rivals the Timberwolves roster in general. But when you think about them with their system and how they play, I think they might have it a little bit, though DeMar DeRozan is quite a bit older than Kat. I would say him and Kat are about at the same level right now, but Kat obviously has much bigger future upside. But then they have a bunch of young players who have looked really good. You got Keldon Johnson, DeJounte Murray's been solid, Devin Vassell's a rookie, Lonnie Walker's been pretty good, Derek White. And I think they've just been overall a pretty solid team, and they might be, you know, a little bit better than the Timberwolves, but when you look at the future, I might give the nod to the Timberwolves. Regardless of all that, that all is to just say, The Timberwolves are possibly in a better spot than 9 other teams going into next year with the potential of landing a top 3 pick. Obviously, Detroit, Cleveland, Houston, OKC, Orlando have great potential to add 1, if not 2, lottery picks in this year's draft. Sacramento as well, Toronto as well. But the Timberwolves, with what they've been building, I've been very encouraged by that. And I think they have one of the best coaches out of the bunch. When you talk about Sacramento has Luke Walton. I think he probably needs to go there. Toronto has Nick Nurse, which is a good coach. Indiana has Nate Bjorkgren, which there's been a ton of fallout, and I don't know all the details or anything by any means, so I'm going to leave that for the experts. The Spurs have Greg Popovich, one of the best minds in the NBA. Orlando has Steve Clifford, who's a very solid coach. I don't think he gets enough credit. OKC has Mark Daigneault, I think is how you say his name. He's looked like a pretty solid first-year coach at the beginning of the season. Houston has Steven Silas, who's been given a really bad bill of health and kind of just, they told him to tank and he's been doing that. Cleveland, J.B. Bickerstaff, I think he is a really good coach. And then Detroit, I can't remember who Detroit has as a head coach. Hold on just one second. Oh yes, Detroit has Dwayne Casey, who I think is a decent head coach. I don't think he's got enough credit for some of the stops he's had, but I don't think he's top tier. I think Chris Finch is maybe one of the top 3 or 4 coaches on that list of teams I named. Nick Nurse and Greg Popovich, and then maybe I would give the nod to Chris Finch, which is exciting because the Timberwolves haven't really had a good coach since, I would say, I guess Tom Thibodeau, because he had some success, but I think that Tom Thibodeau's system didn't really fit the players that he had, and Finch is installing the system that does, so that's really interesting. But overall, I just wanted to point out that I think the Timberwolves are in a pretty good spot, and I think that bodes well for the future. But regardless, I just wanted to bring up those topics, talk about the future of the Timberwolves as the season is wrapping up on Sunday night. Actually, maybe Sunday afternoon. We haven't really seen the times for that, but we will see. We'll see what next year brings. We'll see what the lottery brings. I will be continuing to do this podcast throughout the summer, heading into the draft lottery, heading into the draft itself, heading into the combine, all those things. I will be here. I will be recording this podcast hopefully once a week. Thank you to all of you who have been supporting this podcast so far. The support has been incredible, and I really do appreciate that. Other than that, that's pretty much all I have for you today. Thank you again to our sponsor, BetOnline. This show has been presented by BetOnline, and I will be back next week to wrap up this NBA season, and I am, again, very grateful for you that have been listening to this podcast, and I will see you in the next episode. Peace out.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.